It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. This week's show is all about the minors, an All-Ireland minor football final to look forward to, but one like no other. Mayo and Galway meeting west of the Shannon to decide who is champions of the island. This is exciting. John Gunnigan is along to set the scene on a show that has loads of audio for you. It's going to be a cracking preview show. Hope you enjoy it. John, how are you?
I'm great, Rob, and I hopefully it'll be a cracking match as well, because as we've been trailing before now, it's the first All Connacht All Ireland final. We've had All Ulster ones in senior we've had All Ulster and All Munster, and I think we had a minor All Leinster as well. So this is overdue. But nonetheless, it's extremely exciting, I think. And the fact that it's in Hyde Park as well, I think adds to the luster of it. I know there was some debate about it not being in Croke Park, but that decision has been taken to decouple it from the senior final, and it is an under 17 grade now. So I'm not sure, Croke Park is necessarily the place for it anymore. But you know, given recent events and people complaining about being dragged to Croke Park unnecessarily, I think it's a great decision. You know, the GAA doesn't always get it right on venues, but it looks like they've got this one right. And I think we're all looking forward to a cracking evening in Hyde Park on Friday evening.
And look, All-Ireland finals have often many times at underage grade been won at provincial grounds. I was working in the Roscommon Hurled way back when Roscommon won down in Ennis, and that was some atmosphere. Oh my God, what a day that was. And the way Roscommon took over that ground and won that All-Ireland. Mayo lost one in Longford against Tyrone. A great day in terms of atmosphere and a huge support at that as well. But that was heartbreaking in the other direction. But yeah, it is. I don't necessarily think people would have all the time wanted all those finals to be played in provincial grounds. But what I do say, and you were in Irvingstown way back when, John, if I can say it.
83.
What I do say, it doesn't matter, does it, really, at the end of the day?
It doesn't, no. And the funny thing was, the drawn final against Derry that year was played in Carrick and Shannon. And Carrick has been used as an under 21 / under 20 venue. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think last year's under 20 final was played in Carrick and Shannon as well. So an All-Ireland final being played in Connacht isn't that unusual. This isn't a first. But the real novelty of it is, of course, is that it's all Connacht, and the Tom Markham Cup, which is a lovely cup. It's like a pint-sized Sam Maguire, which we've won a number of times. We've actually won it on seven different occasions. So we're one ahead of Galway. So we were quite fond of winning this, and we have a good strike rate at it. So yeah, it's great. It's great. It'll be up there. It'll be up there in the stand, ready to be claimed by whoever wins it.
Yeah, Galway looking to go from sixth to joint fifth alongside us, or we're looking to go from fifth to joint fourth alongside Tyrone. 21 finals though, 7 wins. Here's one stat I got for you, John. I just went through it there, and I hope I'm right, but I've gone through it multiple times. This is the longest gap between All-Ireland finals for a Mayo minor team since they got to their first one in 1930. Does that show you the level of consistency? Twice during that time, they've gone as far as 8 years, 91 to 99, the last time of that. But this is the ninth year now without a final. So it does show you the level of consistency in the past and how this All-Ireland final was a little overdue.
Oh, it was overdue. And I think you know, a lot of people have been saying that since 2013, that we haven't been punching our weight at underage, and particularly at minor, because as you say, we would have had more appearances at the business end before now. The chance, though, this is a chance to win two in a row, if you like, you know, in terms of two final appearances in a row. We have, you know, we've won 7, we've lost 14. But I think we've very, very high hopes about Friday night, haven't we? They're just such a great bunch of lads.
Yeah, Galway have lost finals in 16, 18 and 19 more recently. Yeah,
that's funny, isn't it? I was looking at that as well. Like they've won 6 and lost 4, but 3 of those 4 have come inside the last half decade.
Yeah, it is actually. And it was surprising when I was looking back on that. Look, that's the scene set. Mm. But also, it's an unexpected final. Many people would have been saying, look, Mayo look really strong. I don't know if people were just banking on them to make an All-Ireland final straight out of Connacht, but there was an awareness that they were going to be strong. I don't think anyone saw the Galway teams that lost heavily to Mayo, lost to Leitrim, and lost to Mayo again in the Connacht final, doing what they've done. But beating Dublin, beating a Derry side that toppled the Munster champions, Cork, they're a different force now again.
Well, I think in fairness, Kevin McStay saw them.
Didn't he? He nailed it. He was on to me afterwards going, I told you.
from the first day out. And in fairness to them, like, they have come back very, very well, because, I mean, that evening when we hosed them up in Tuam, you know, it looked like really there was no way back for Galway after that. But and you know, when we beat them, I think, well in the Connacht final too. So you could think, well, they've had their sauce now, but they came back. I mean, that win over, that was a good Dublin team that won Leinster, and they did very, very well to turn them over, and they really deserved to win that game. And then of course, took out Derry in the semi-final. So they're absolutely deserving of their place in the final.
And that's the point Kevin was making when he was on with us. Like, he will be doubling down on the fact that, yeah, of course, you're going to have ups and downs with 17-year-olds. And oh, that's the fear. Yeah. That's the fear for Mayo. The team that he saw against Roscommon on that first day, that we knew was in that competition, we're surprised we didn't see when we played them, has come back. And now Mayo are facing a whole other team. Sean Dean, we're going to hear from in a little while. Mm. He'll be emphasising that's what they expect. Gary Ruan, part of the management team, great to hear from him. We're going to hear from him in a while. He'll be emphasising the same. Jonathan Higgins, chatted to him, Galway Bay FM's commentator / reporter on the Galway Miners throughout the championship. And he had a bit of caution, obviously. They know they're coming in as underdogs. They're happy with that title coming into it. But yeah, I think everyone in Mayo is like, this is a new game. I don't think anyone's going into this going, oh, we have to win this minor title. I think it's going to be throw the ball up, see what happens.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and you can't put that kind of pressure on an under 17 team. You know, you just can't. It's not an adult competition, and it still is a development grade. So look, if we win this, this would be brilliant for the players, for their families, for their clubs, and for the county. But I mean, there's going to be no wailing and gnashing of teeth about the result. We just hope they do it, you know. And I think I was looking back on the campaign today, and you know, what has really impressed me is how they've, the different ways that they won their matches. You know, you could say they had a few big wins, you know, against Leitrim, against Galway first time out. They had two shootouts, one against Sligo and one against Kildare. And then they had nervy, edgy kind of wins against Roscommon when James Mahady was very harshly sent off around about half time, wasn't it? They had to play the second half with 14 players. They got through that, did a very edgy, nervy semi-final against Kerry. They got through that. And then the other one, I guess, was the Connacht final. And that was kind of an expected win, an expected no-nonsense win. And they did that as well. So by my count, they won games in three or four different ways, you know, and that's extremely impressive, you know. And the other thing as well, I was just looking at the team. I mean, it's a very, very settled team. You can say at least 13 nailed on. These 13 out of the 15 have started in every game. James Mahady has missed one game because of that harsh sending off, but he's been there in every other game. So that's 14 out of 15 kind of more or less nailed on. And of course, Dara Hurley has come in. Niall's twin came in for the Connacht final. That was his first game, and he's played the last three games. So for the last three matches, that's been the starting 15. It's been the same starting 15. So it's very, very settled. But despite that, there's a lot of variety on the bench as well, and they really have used that bench very, very effectively. So, you know, I think we're certainly coming into it with a lot of solidity and a lot of strength and options off the bench, and that's got to be great.
All right. Mike Finnerty has been taking you through the season, as you know, on the Final Whistle podcast for our patreon.com/ Mayo podcast listeners. Sign up for all that exclusive coverage. Sign up wherever you are around the world for an instant podcast the second the All-Ireland final finishes next Friday evening, and lots, lots more besides. Just while I throw it in there, because there's a world of football outside of the minors, as we know, this week the special show is Mike Finnerty chatting to Billy Joe Paddon and Colin Boyle about the management situation. Honest to God, if there's only one conversation you listen to right now while we wait in this vacuum for the next round of nominees, that's the conversation to listen to. The lads did a great job. So that's just an example of what's on online for you. But one of the things you'll have been listening to throughout the season, if you've been listening to the Miners Final Whistle podcast, is Sean Dean always willing to come out and chat, having some like absolutely brilliant conversations with Mike. I could stack them all together for you. Actually, you know what? If you really want more coverage ahead of this Miners Final, once you listen to this, just listen back to all the podcasts, because it'll take you on a journey. You'll learn so much about these guys, Nigel Reap as well. Anyways, I built it up enough. Sean Dean, though, at the launch of the press event for this All-Ireland Final, took a good bit of time aside to set the scene with Mike. This is great stuff. Have a listen.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms, you can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
So Sean Dean, at this stage, everybody, I think, pretty much aware, he's the manager of the Mayo under 17 football team, an All-Ireland final on the horizon, fast approaching. How are the nerves, Sean? You certainly don't look particularly nervous, but then again, we are, what, 9 days out as we speak.
It's not how you look, it's how you feel. I'm grand, to be totally straight. Really, really looking forward to it. Today is Wednesday. We were back for the first time last night after the win against Kerry. And we had a session last night, and the guys were in great form. And if they're in great form, I'm in great form. Put it like that.
It's not something we get a chance to talk about, particularly after matches, because we're obviously diving into the turning points and the good things and the work-ons. But how has being minor manager impacted on your life over the last, put a number on it, 6 months? I mean, how have things changed at home with work, just in terms of your daily, your weekly routine? Because I can only imagine it's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, it is. I think someone asked me a number of weeks ago, you know, how many hours you put into it, and I hadn't really thought about it. And it's about 30 hours a week between the jigs and the reels. But thinking about it, jotting things down, I'd have my phone and putting notes in, different things I want to say, different messages I want to get across to these young fellas. So it's between the day job and this, it's all consuming, to be totally straight. Family life has suffered. I'm very fortunate that Sharon at home is hugely, hugely supported. Really, really looking forward to, as I am, Friday week.
Any consolation? You get well paid?
The money is crucially important. The place we bought in Barbados on the back of it will is worth it, like, you know, that sort of caper. I think that if I stay for, I think compared to last year, I think I'm getting double what I got last year. Double that. You know exactly how much it is, Mike.
Yeah, and like on a serious note, the payoff, and everyone says this, the payoff is the 15 minutes, isn't it? Or the half an hour or the few hours after the likes of the Kerry game or the Kildare game or the Galway game. Can you take us kind of inside the dressing room or inside the bus on those sort of journeys? I can only imagine it must be a very special place to be. You've built the bond, you've planned and prepared, and then you've executed.
It is very special. Like, you know, if I think back, I suppose on the journey so far, the game against Roscommon was just, the atmosphere afterwards in the dressing room was just phenomenal. I don't think I've ever witnessed anything like it. Then you roll on to the Connacht final, and again the euphoria of having a little bit of silverware in the dressing room and what it meant to the guys and us as a management team. That's what we set out to do, was to win a Connacht title, and it's just fantastic. Like, and you know, you have maybe 15, 20, 25 minutes and there's a few songs sung and there's a bit of crack and it's brilliant. And then you roll on then to, you think to yourself, okay, now the next game is the quarter final. So you quickly, you know, the joy leaves you very quickly because you think, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? So moving on then to Kildare, just delighted to get over the line to quarter final into the semi. And the semi was bigger, obviously, like, you know. But again, once I had done the media round, the last day, got back into the dressing room, to be honest, had a kind of a hug with all the players individually. because I'm big into that, to be totally straight, that, you know, we try and connect as best we possibly can. We have a little ritual where we sing a Mayo song. Badly from me now, I'll be honest, like, right? I have a young fella in the house that's a decent singer, but he didn't get it from me anyway. Yeah. And once that's done and we get on the bus and we have a bit of crack on the way home, but geez, you're only on the bus 10 or 15 minutes and you're thinking about the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a prime example of that would be, I think that when we played Galway in Tuam, by the time we got to Ballandine, I had a game arranged against Kerry, because you move straight to the next thing, like, you know. So probably should celebrate the successes. If I talk about myself personally, and I think that the management team are exactly the same, probably should celebrate them a little bit more. But the way I'm looking at things is, you know, when the job is done, mm-hmm. we'll be able to reflect back and hopefully, you know, really, really appreciate the journey. It's hard to sometimes appreciate it when you're on that journey. And I was actually in Belmullet today, and I was talking to Liam Maloney's mother. I hope she don't mind me mentioning this. Like, but she said there's a great buzz in Belmullet, and there's a, you know, great buzz about the miners and everything. Mm-hmm. And we're in a little bubble, mm-hmm. to a certain extent, which is probably a good thing. And it's all about, you know, the preparation and getting everything right and making sure that we do the best job we possibly can Friday week.
Yeah, just to talk and zone in on the game for a few minutes. It's done now. It's locked in Hyde Park on a Friday evening at 7:15. Your thoughts on the fixture, the venue, and all that goes with that? I know you would have said maybe in the aftermath of the Kerry game, wouldn't mind a day out at Croke Park for these lads. It hasn't happened. It won't be happening. But now that it's locked in, how do you feel?
Yeah, look at the Croke Park element of things. It didn't happen. And that's it. And that's just the way it is. And we move on from that and moved on very, very quickly, because we knew really, like, when you look at the hurling final, it's fixed for Nolan Park, that there was no way the football final was going to be in Croke Park. That wasn't never going to be the case. We're delighted that it's in Hyde Park. I suppose last year, not a great experience. We got beaten by Roscommon. Obviously, the format last year, and I've said this on a number of occasions, like, you know, it just wasn't right in any way, shape or form. And we have massive support, actually, from the minor squad of last year. And they constantly message us, you know, with good luck wishes. And I look at them and I think, you know, if they had a game or two more, like, how they would have developed and improved. Because if I start out on our journey, we played Leitrim, and I remember talking to yourself, and, you know, we won it, I suppose, comfortably when you look at the scoreboard. But I wasn't happy with the performance, because the performance was below the standard we had set. And the next game, we were a little bit better. The next game, we were a little bit better. And we were incrementally improving, which is what you want. And the guys last year didn't get that opportunity. And, you know, you get one chance to play minor, so that was short-sighted, as far as I'm concerned, with regard to the GAA. And you know, I said it before, and I'll continue saying it. But this bunch of young guys, you know, the journey has been fantastic. But it's not over. And I did say to them, when I came into the dressing room after the Kerry game, albeit, look, we were delighted and that sort of stuff, but there's no silverware in here. So the journey is not over. The job is not over. So we have to now say, right, the next obstacle, as I call it, we have to address that. We have to ensure that we continue to do what we're doing, but do it better. And we absolutely know that we have to be better than we've ever been when we play Galway. And I know that there is more in this group. There's no question or doubt about it. Like, they amaze me in lots of ways, in terms of, obviously, you know, if you go back over all the games we played, we've won games in different ways. You know, Roscommon down 5 points after about 15 minutes, losing James on the stroke of half time, and how they battled and rallied in the second half. You know, you look at, you know, the Kildare game is a prime example. We had our backs to the wall for a period of time, but they came up with the last two or three scores and were very smart in the way that they handled that. So they can win games in different ways. And I said we're very fortunate to have this group. I think it speaks volumes to the work that's done at club level to get this bunch of guys to where they are. And there's 22 clubs represented. And from Kilmovie to Ballycroy to Kilcommon. So if you go from one end of the county to the other, and it would be remiss of me not to call out the clubs in terms of the fantastic work that they've done with these guys, not alone in terms of football, but in terms of mentality. And their mentality is very, very impressive. And then you look at the academies and all these guys, not them all actually, the vast majority have come through the academies. And it proves one thing, that they do work. You know, going back to probably when these guys came in first, they were with Tom Riley and Kieran MacDonald. And they set a foundation stone there. And the under 16 with Dermot Byrne last year, they had a good lot of success there. And it laid a platform for us to kind of take it on from there. And that was our job, to move it to the next level as best as we possibly can. But we've done what we've done, but there's a huge amount of work done, as I said, between the clubs and the academy to get these bunch of guys to where they are. And with the help of God, if we're successful Friday week, that success is success for the clubs and success for the academy and success for these guys. Like it's a joint effort.
Obviously, to achieve that success, Galway are the obstacle you mentioned. Fate has decreed that Galway and Mayo meet for a third time in this year's minor championship. It's going to make us Sky's job in the media a lot easier. We'll have to try and think of some catchy slogan a la Sky Sports for it. But from a management point of view, are you burying yourself in Netflix docuseries or Amazon Prime, or are you rereading the All Blacks book? Like, how does Sean Dean go to the well again one more time to find that motivational quote or clip? Or what buttons do you press to get a gang of 15 and 16-year-olds up again for an All-Ireland final against a team they've beaten twice already? I mean, it's something that's come up in a lot of conversations I'm in. I don't know the answer, but I'm guessing you at this stage have a fairly good handle on it. Or you will have by Friday at 7:15.
Yeah. Look, I suppose I'm kind of curious too, no more than the players, in terms of obviously different management styles. And I suppose my day job helps me a little bit, like in terms of obviously working for AIB and the experiences I've gained with them over the last 25 years from a managerial perspective. That's one aspect of things. I have three sons myself. I know how young fellas think. And it's about us respecting each other to start with, like, right? Being very honest with each other, being up front, and making the guys feel valued. That's very, very important to me. And I think if you do those sort of things, you lay a very strong foundation stone in terms of obviously the behaviours and the standards that you set. And, we call each other out on them. We went to Belmullet for a kind of an away day, as I call it, and we had a workshop and we set our own standards. In fact, they set the standard. And we keep going back to that on an ongoing basis. In terms of obviously the game... Friday week, it is only a game. It's another game. It's game two of two, and that's what it is. And we prepare the same way as we prepared against Leitrim, the same way as we prepared against Sligo or Roscommon. That's the way we're going to prepare. We don't alter things too much, because I think that, repeating things gives comfort to people in terms of obviously, making sure there's no surprises there. So they know, like my talk before the game next Friday night or Friday night week, they'll have heard the vast majority of that before. So there's not going to be anything massively new. We have a structure, we have a plan, we have a system. Everybody knows their job and making sure that we do that. You look at these guys and they're hugely committed, very focused. And the one thing they do is they believe in each other. They believe in the management team and we believe in them. And it's like everything in life, if you're committed and you're focused and you believe, you can achieve something. But the alternative to that, not fully focused, not committed, don't really believe, the achievement is very difficult. But these guys, you know, we have the mantra CFBA, commit, focus, believe, achieve. And they are committed, they are focused, they believe, and they're not getting carried away in any way, shape or form. If you walked in, I'll give you an example. If you walked into Tullamore after the Kerry game, and just before we got on the bus, you'd see a couple of guys sweeping the dressing room, making it clean, leaving it the way we found it. Last night we trained, they had iced baths, and it was like a tsunami in there, but there was guys out with mops cleaning up afterwards. So there is, they are grounded, very, very grounded. We know that we have a job to do. We know that we have to represent our families, our clubs, and our county with distinction, and we'll make sure we do that.
Sean, pleasure talking to you as always. I don't know how you're going to get time to do up your CV. I'm not sure if you're aware, but a prominent bookmaker has installed you in the top five anyway. You may have made it into the top four as favourites to succeed James Horan for the Mayo senior job. How would you broach that conversation with your wife if you had to tell her you're the manager of the Mayo senior football team? Or is that something you're aware of, that your name has been linked with this high profile position?
Yeah, no, I did. I seen something. I was 6-1 at one stage, like, you know, and then I couldn't understand. The next time I looked, I was out to 12s, like, and thinking something's going wrong here, like, you know. Look, as I say, paper will never refuse ink, like, you know. I'm a long way off being considered for anything like that. We've a job to do, and we'll do it. And good luck to the next senior manager. I hope he's hugely successful. A big, big job for whoever gets it.
That's a fact. Sean, we'll talk soon. We'll talk on Friday, win or lose. And you do know, I'm sure, at this stage, the whole county behind you. You really have, you've captured the imagination, to use that phrase. I think the style of football you play, your own communication skills and approach as well, has played a big part. But is that going to count for something, for a lot, for an intangible amount, do you think, in the build-up and on match day, knowing that you have all that goodwill behind you, there's a genuine backing, there's a wholehearted support there for the team?
Absolutely, it's worth a couple of pints. There's no doubt about it. And I am hoping that we'll have a big, big support in the Hyde Friday week. It's no more than the guys deserve. You know, it's exciting that people talk about the brand of football. And we know we want to play fast, expansive football. We want to play football the way I believe it should be played, the way that Mayo teams have played in the past, I suppose, and should be playing in the future. We have very skillful, talented guys, and the worst thing you could do at minor level is overcoach or put the shackles on. So, you know, we'll go out and we'll adapt to whatever we have to adapt to in terms of obviously the system, and we have a number of systems that we can play. The guys are fairly comfortable with. But look, I would appeal to every GA person in Mayo to come out and support these young men. And if we have, you know, that level of support, that's the 16th man, as they say, like, and Mayo supporters are just phenomenal. Like, no matter where I go, they're very, very complimentary of the team, very complimentary of what we're trying to do. And we're very appreciative of that. Like, you know, we're very fortunate to be in the position that we're in, that we have this bunch of guys to look after. And for me, personally, looking forward to Friday, but very sad that we won't be back the following week, that it's going to come to an end. I just hope that it comes to an end with the right result.
And so say all of us. Sean, thanks a million. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Mike.
We interrupt this week's show to emphasise that these free podcasts couldn't happen without the support of our sponsors, the Oxford Arms in London, as you've heard from already, and Nigel Reap, printing, signs and office supplies. No better place to go as you're preparing for your club events than Nigel Reap. So thanks to all our people who are backing us, friends of the podcast and supporters of what we do. We couldn't do it without you. From Sean Dean to Gary Rouen, a stalwart in the Mayo defence for a long time. Went on your blog's archive, John, which I just absolutely love, just to find his stats. 63 games for Mayo between 1993 and 2005. And some of the more alert among you will know that there was a good gap in there from 95 to 2001. So some career All-Ireland final, And he played in the semi-final as well in Croke Park, or a couple of semi-finals. So
did you?
He is, yeah.
Captain,
and I loved,
captain the team too, didn't he?
He certainly did. I love Mike's comparison with Colin Boyle. He said, a man cut from the same cloth as yourself, Boyle, when he was referencing him in the Patreon pod there the last day. He was that kind of player. So he's a great guy to have in the backroom team. Sean obviously identified that he'd been involved in the academies. And, you know, that's it. Like we'll go through the backroom team in a little bit more detail after the weekend, but there's a lot of quality in there. There's a lot of big minds and they seem to be working well together, obviously.
They do. Yeah, they do. And certainly the lads I hugely respect the team that's there, you know. And I mean, we heard David Dolan on the Final Whistle podcast talking about David Clark as well, you know. So it's all been, I think the influence has been enormous there.
Absolutely. Here it is, Gary Ruan at the press launch for the All-Ireland Final, chatting to Mike Finnerty.
So Gary Ruan, a lot of our listeners, particularly those of a certain age, will remember you as the Moy Davids footballer and the Mayo footballer who had such a terrific career. And here we are, X amount of years later, and you're the Mayo under-17 selector / coach. So tell us, how does Gary Ruan get involved with the Mayo under-17 football team? Was it a long conversation, a short one? Did you take much persuading?
Well, I did. I took a bit of persuasion, all right, but I had been involved in the academy for about 3 or 4 years with Sean at under-16 level, and we had worked well together, and he spoke to me then about his thinking about going forward for the minor job, and he asked would I get on board. So I was still involved with club coaching at the time, and that, so I made a decision to get involved, and I'm delighted I did now with the way things are going. Last year, I suppose, was a tough year for us because we inherited a bunch of lads, I suppose, that hadn't played much football due to the COVID. And unfortunately, there was no round-robin series as there is this year, so they only really got one game, one test, one off game, and we didn't get over the line. So it was disappointing, that aspect, but it was great to get the chance to be involved again this year.
Tell me about your role in the setup. How would you describe it, explain it?
Well, I'm just part of a team. There's a great bunch of lads there, and I'm just one cog on the wheel, you know. Sean, I suppose, is the main leader, and then he delegates work to us, and we work well as a team. So I'd be just involved in coaching and viewing the lads and talking to the lads, and sometimes a lot of one-on-one, nearly off the field. As I said, inside, lads are very inquisitive, you know, and they want to know how they can improve themselves as footballers. And I suppose they look to me maybe sometimes as I've had the experience of inter-county football. And you just tell them basically what we think and where they need to improve and what they need to work on in their game. And they're delighted to be involved.
It mightn't be possible to boil it down to one sentence or, you know, a couple of lines. But what's your football and philosophy when you're talking to one of these under-17s? What are the sort of things you're saying to them that you feel are important?
Well, I think like the main thing is that they're wearing a county jersey. They're representing their family and their club and their parish, I suppose. And to go out then and enjoy the game, because it's played on a field like that. Doesn't matter where the field is or what the stadium is, it's still two goals. And
I suppose a lot of people would look at the back line, the defence, over the last, what is it now, 6 games. And I know myself and Nigel Reap have discussed it quite a bit after each of your matches. It looks like there's the stamp of Gary Ruan there, if we're being honest. The near hand tackling, the way they work in little pods, clusters, the way maybe one defender might hold a man up and wait for support. Would it be fair to say you spend most of your time on the training ground working with the defence? And when you do, or if you do, again, what are the kind of things that you're driving home to them that maybe you've learned during your career?
Well, basically, like as I said earlier, I work with all parts of the team, but I do spend a good bit of time with the defence. And, you know, lads, the main thing I do say to the lads is when they're one-on-one, say, is to stay on their feet, basically, first, and get a man turned. And if you can get a man turned, you will have a support player there with you, who should be there with you, you know, to try and strip them of the ball. And, like, we like to keep it tight as a unit when we're defending. From a team, from our own kick-out, we like to close things up first and work on trying to get the breaks. And after that, then I tell the half-back line, I think we don't need to attack all the time. We're defenders first most. So I think I tell them to get forward when they can, but to get something out of it. There's no point running for the sake of running. I think that your first job as defenders is to defend, and if we can stop them scoring, our forwards will do the rest.
Is football a simple game, the way Gary Ruan sees it?
Well, it is, but it has changed like a lot since I played. Do you know, there's an awful lot of, say, getting 12, 13 men behind the ball now in most games, whether it's in a club game now, you see it from nearly, you could say, nearly from under 12 upwards, you see it. And I think it's taken a bit from the game of football. It's nearly gone into a hand-passing game and keep possession. I said some players are afraid nearly to kick the ball. I think some have fear of kicking, that they'll get turnover, and you see that at senior county level, where they're nearly stopped from kicking the ball or given a 50-50 ball. But I think a lot of the time we play with our heads up and we scan fair first, and if the pass is on, we give it. It doesn't have to be a 90% chance of a pass. We don't mind. Our forwards are good, they'll get out in front, so we scan fair first, and if that's not on, we hold possession and work from there.
I know Sean Dean makes a point of saying regularly that enjoyment is a very important part of what you do and what the players do. What's been the most enjoyable part of this journey so far for you?
Well, I think seeing the development of these lads from we started, I think, in Bacon, and probably we watched them under Dermot Byrne playing a couple of in-house games, as they call them, before Christmas, and they had a break, and then we got 65 lads in, and we started from there, and we had to cut down the panel, unfortunately, to where we are now at 34. But to see the improvement some of these lads have made in their footballing lives and in their own personal lives, like, you know, you see there how they've, some of them have come out of their shell and have take leadership and ownership of what's going on, and I think that's most important, you know. And the case in point, we spoke about John McMonagall. John asked why was he put into the full back line, and we said we had injuries, we need someone to go back there, and John has taken that and learned. Every day he goes out, he learns, and he has improved as a player incrementally.
One thing I was dying to ask you was, what's it like coaching sons of lads you played with, like Pat Clark and Kenny Mortimer? They're the two that spring to mind.
Vinnie Cain
as well, yeah, the Ballintubber flyer himself. Like, what's that like? Do you have moments when you look around a dressing room or look around the training field and you think, God, how did that happen?
What am I doing here? You think that, all right, and you think about how you're getting so old, but you can see certain traits coming out in some of the lads of their fathers, you know, definitely. Yeah. And so in either it's whether it's Pat Clark as a Ronan as a forward in Pat's shoes, or Rio as Kenny's son, like, you know, or Jack as Vinny's, like, they're all their traits, like, they're each of them are playing in their father's positions, you could say, and you know, it's great to be there to be able to coach these fellas, and they're listening to stories from their fathers as well about you, and they come to you, and there's good banter goes on.
What's been the most surreal thing you've heard or seen maybe over the months? I mean, I know Snapchat is a thing now. It's a word I hear mentioned in my house. I'm sure it rings a bell with you. But like, we're talking here about a completely different generation, and yet they're 15, they're 16, they're football stone cracked on football. Are they still the same 15-year-olds that you grew up with in some ways, but then obviously the world around them has changed so much?
Well, definitely, as you said, like, social media has completely changed now from when we grew up, and even though these lads are involved in that era now, they're still, their football is at heart, whether it's from David Dolan up to number 34. They want to play county football. They're dying to learn, and they hope it's the start of a journey for themselves to play. Most of them want to play senior football for Mayo, and that's what they speak to you about. They want to learn to be able to get the best out of themselves, to be a part of that journey to get to play senior county football.
Just to finish up, I mean, you played football at the very highest level. You captained Mayo to an All-Ireland final in 2004. What are the kind of things that you can help these lads with in the lead up to the final, on the day of the final? You know, what sort of benefit of your experience can you bring maybe to bear over the next few days and right on match day as well?
Well, I suppose, as I said there, things have changed incrementally since I was playing with social media and that, and these lads are exposed to a lot of that on social media. They'll be listening to other counties and looking at stuff, but they have to blank that out. And I'd be hoping that in the lead up to it, that they would, and that they'll be just listening to what the management will tell them. We have a routine, we train, when we train twice a week and the weekend, they know that routine. So we'd hope that they'd stick to that routine and not get involved in anything on social media, and also that when we tell them whether what changes or anything involving in the game, that they will listen, and they have done over the year. And you can see that from the way we have transformed as a team from the first day out, probably against Leitrim, when it was up and down the field scoring. When we have now, we were limiting teams to maybe under 10 points. So that's like, you'd be just telling lads to listen to us, and hopefully that we can teach them in the last week, you know, how to deal with an All-Ireland final that's coming up. Some of them, of course, will be nervous on that, but you'd hope, again, we'll just tell them that it's another game, it's game 2-2, and it's a job to be done, and when we get over that line, they can enjoy themselves then.
One thing that hasn't changed, I'm sure, Gary, over the years, is that the sight of a Galway jersey brings out the best in a Mayo man and vice versa. Is that your experience too, based on the under-17s this year, that the Mayo-Galway rivalry is as keen and as fiercely contested as ever?
Definitely, yeah. And like everyone, like, well, no matter what age you are, you just want to beat the team you're playing, and it just happens to be that we're meeting Galway again. We've bet them twice. There's a lot of rivalry there from schools football and the last two games we played. But it's just another game. The two games that have gone ahead have no relevance now. This is the third game and we have to win it. So it doesn't matter what sort has gone on previously. It's a game that has to be won and then we'll enjoy it.
I was just about to wrap up there and I forgot to ask you one of the most important questions. You're wearing a Moy Davitts jacket. You can take the man out of Moy Davitts, but you can't take Moy Davitts out of the man and all that. Of course, you have a very strong connection with the team. Your nephew, Colm, yes. Kevin's lad, yes. Not to forget Gráinne as well, of course, but Colm is playing centre-back. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when he gets on that ball or he starts moving around the field, I can see his uncle Gary. I mean, you must be very proud to have that connection as well.
Ah, definitely. Yeah, it's great to have someone involved, like, you know, a relation. But like Colm is another one of these. He wants to learn. And since I remember him since he was 2 or 3, himself and his brother Keane have had a ball in their hand. And it just shows what you can get to when you want to learn again. He was always out in the garden kicking ball and that. But he has developed this year as well. He might have been known in Moy Davitts as a midfielder come forward nearly, but we had to utilise him, and we've utilised him at centre back, and he's been going very well.
Yeah, he's a fine footballer. Well, Gary, always a pleasure to talk to you. It's been a while, but hopefully we'll get to do it again on Friday.
God, Mike. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
All right, before we finish the audio, in Croke Park on All-Ireland quarterfinal day, before Galway actually took on Armagh, and just 24 hours after Galway had beaten Derry in their quarterfinal in Parnell Park, Mayo had beaten Kerry, of course, as we know, in Tullamore. I sat down with Jonathan Higgins of Galway Bay FM. He has followed the Miners throughout the championship. He was on the commentary duty with the lads at the game in Parnell Park. So he was able to give me an instant 24 hours later reaction to Galway's emergence through this All-Ireland Championship into an All-Ireland final. I think we made reference to the fact that we didn't know exactly what the venue was, but we were wondering about Hyde Park at that point in time. So keep that in mind. But he'll give you a little bit of insight in how Galway have gone through a kind of an evolution during this championship, from a bursting start to some low points to a pretty, pretty phenomenal turnaround, and are coming into this in superb form.
Jonathan Higgins, Galway BFM. Miners into a final. We were in Tullamore yesterday. I'm here in Croke Park as we record this, before all the action. So by the time listeners listen to this, you'll know how things panned out at senior level. But what we're looking forward to right now, Ollie Turner's claim in the All-Ireland final is going to be in Toome Stadium.
Perfect location, really, isn't it? Makes sense. Yeah, no.
We all say we love going to Toome, but like, oh, come on.
Don't really. Yeah, like, how ironic. And we're just shy of let's go and just toss a coin for home advantage for an All-Ireland final. I think it's unique enough, Galway Mayo in an All-Ireland final, to throw it in Toome on top of that. But be absolutely bananas. But I think obviously you have to take it, the logistics and everything else is okay, but the Hyde Park seems just like a no-brainer, really. You don't want to be bringing herds of Galway Mayo fans up the country to even as far as the Tullamore. I think the Hyde would make perfect sense, and what occasion that could be.
Brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it, because there's a buzz in Mayo about this minor team, because the way they score and the way they play football, that semi-final kind of brought us back to the realities of you're going to meet some tough teams now. Maybe my first question is, Galway have gone on some journey. Like, we heard at the start, especially after that Roscommon game, this is a super Galway team. Then they blew Roscommon away. But my God, they've dipped, and my God, they've come back.
Yeah, it's surreal, really, isn't it? At the age group as well, the ups and downs, and like, my mind goes back to the Connacht final down in McHale Park, where Mayo won by 6 points, but it could have been 16, 26 points. It was such a, well, I felt like a pretty one-sided game. It felt like men versus boys. I struggle to see how that bunch of young lads would react and come back for the Dublin game, but they did, to be fair. And even yesterday, again, you come out in the warm-up beforehand and you see these big commanding beasts of Derry players and you're like, oh, this could be a long evening here. But no, they fought like warriors. It was a a soul-warming display for large periods. Give us an almighty scare at the end as well, as Derry just threw the kitchen sink, but they did enough. But there is aspects of it, despite the couple of one-sided affairs maybe earlier on in the year. There is a little bit of hope now where I mightn't have had that prior to turning up in McHale Park yesterday. And it's the age-old thing. Can one team beat another team three times in a row? Usually, sometimes there's a swing back, and from the Maroon perspective, we'll definitely hope that it goes that way.
The new minor structures are brilliant, I think. I think we all do. The playing the group games, getting to know the teams, the players. Players get, young lads getting a chance to learn as they go. Who do you think, who are the key players do you think that are coming into this final on form from Galway that have probably gone through a learning curve along the way?
You look at the Galway full back line straight away. They were immense yesterday as Galway really pushed on what at times was a pretty defensive Derry setup, and the full back line, Farding, Rafferty, and then you look at Vinnie Gill as well, all push forward, not what you'd consider old school full back line. These are ball players that like to run up the pitch and run pretty fast as well, and even from the defensive point of view as well, they were quite intense. They were at a four really yesterday, and there's a kind of a strange side tangent to a lot of those players were actually replaced with 10 minutes to go. It might have been a time wasting process, but it nearly came around and bit us on the proverbial ass, because we were under pressure and some of those key players were taken off. That's a conversation for another day, but that full back line in particular, it came to the fort. I thought yesterday were key. Ross Cohn had another brilliant display at wing back as well, and up front starting to develop a bit of firepower as well, and Aina Murphy and Colm Costello, you know, were absolutely phenomenal there for large periods of the game. Some of the goal scores, the goal, I think it did the rounds on social media. It was a brilliant ball up initially from Travers outside of the right, and away he went. Beautiful finish. There is firepower there. They got key scores yesterday. They're going to need to do something that and a good bit more, but there is a bit of it is a youthful team at this age group, I know, but there is just a bit of kind of rawness and just let's go all out attack. And when Galway tried to go back to maybe play more cagey, structured football at the end and close up shop, it didn't work. And even to give an example on that without rambling on too much, we lost Shane McGinty to a black card just on the stroke of half time. And you're worried 10 minutes out of a 30 minute half and against a Derry team that had just got a goal before half time, their tails were up. I was concerned how things might wobble away. In fact, Galway scored 1-2 to Derry's, I think, 2 points during that period. Wow. And really just went all out, pushed up, played attacking positive football. And that really is the key. They actually, when they went back to 15, that's when the problems kind of came awry. Now, definitely, there was an element of Derry were good and had been poor and they pushed on and got a bit better. But there was definitely an element of Galway being a bit more structured. So I think it's going to have to be that kind of all out, in your face, attack and display, that if Galway are to get anything here in this final.
That's interesting, because Mayo played, you know, Mayo really benefited from the sin bin for Kerry yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes up again. Look, I guess as we bring this to conclusion, because we've got a game to watch, Kerry really tested Mayo defensively and kind of shut down some of their key forwards, just with double team, treble team. It's probably a good lesson for Mayo, probably will prime them well for the final, but Galway's defence improving is probably a good sign for Galway. You have to shut down this Mayo attack. I know they were shut down here, but they've got to be shut down again now.
Yeah, and that's the key really, and I spoke about the defenders being so good going forward. They have to be. There was also a lot of kind of coming back and hunting in packs. Galway got a lot of big turnovers, particularly in the first half when the game was, I hate the old expression, but in the melting pot. Like, there was periods of the game where Galway got big scores, they got hits in, they got turnovers in, they pushed forward. They were also very quick with the hands as well, and there was a lot of quick little slick hand passes, a lot of good team movement, a lot of kind of good attacking display as well, getting out of tight situations after turnovers. That's a Galway are going to have to repeat that act again, and because there's a lot of firepower in that Mayo attack. But it will be, I think, one of the most important things that Alan Glynn and his side, management side, will be looking at is how do we try and do enough on one side to stop Mayo without leaving ourselves short on the other. But there is going to take an absolute manic effort.
Thanks a million, Jonathan. It's a great scene set. As we say this, the Armagh and Galway teams are coming out in senior, so we'll focus on that. But this is something to really look forward to. Both counties will be buzzing about these young lads.
Oh, it'll be massive. Like, anytime you play Galway and Mayo play each other, it's a big occasion. Like, the novelty of this, having two youthful teams that have kind of captured a lot of the imagination of sport. It doesn't always happen at minor levels, let's be said. And there was also a wary bit of caution that when minor is kind of taken away from mainstream events, we're in Croke Park for the quarterfinals, but yesterday we were in Tullamore and we were in Parnell Park, away from the big occasion, sometimes the support will dwindle. But if I think of anything else, the supporters on both occasions have got onto it, it should be a massive occasion. Galway Mayo in Ireland final, stuff of dreams, eh?
Brilliant. We'll see you there.
Great stuff from my colleague in Galway Bay FM, Jonathan Higgins. We're looking forward to hanging out with the lads at the weekend. Just, John, as we kind of, you know, finish today's podcast, there's been some great audio there. And like both Sean, Gary, and even Jonathan, all emphasizing how exciting this is. Rivalry is what it is. And there are plenty of people in Mayo and Galway who never like to see them win another game outside of the province and everything else and all that crack. But we're all right beside each other. And the notion that Hyde Park, the press box, everywhere else is just going to be full of people who are following Galway Mayo football, dyed-in-the-wool supporters. This is a day for the great Connacht rivalry, you could argue.
Oh, it is, yeah. And hopefully supporters will be out in their thousands for this. I mean, I was watching the minor hurling final yesterday. It was on before the senior semi-final, the second one between Limerick and Galway, and it was on from Nolan Park, and there was over 20,000 there. I mean, the place was packed to the rafters. Now, I'm not sure it'll be as packed as that, but I mean, it certainly will be the biggest standalone minor fixture ever played in the province, and possibly one of the biggest played of all time, like a football one, you know. So it certainly deserves to be packed out. I mean, it is a great rivalry. I think it's great that it's an All Connacht All Ireland final. I mean, and I think it's overdue that we have one between us. So and the weather is supposed to be good too. So look, what's not to like?
You and I sat in the sand in Tullamore and learned a lot about this group's character and resilience, because we felt, well, I certainly said it to you afterwards in the podcast, and I don't think you disagreed, that it was probably an ideal test, really, coming up against that Kerry wall of defence. And maybe just, like, I want to get the right phrase, but this is kind of maybe too harsh, but a bit of a wings clip situation too, in terms of the momentum that had come from the Kildare game. All those scores were flowing, but the forwards and everyone else just kind of had a lesson of just having to graft every score.
Yeah, I think it was, what was great about it was that they had to think their way through it. But as I was saying earlier on, they've had to do that in a different way. They've had a variety of different challenges in this championship, and every time a different challenge has been thrown down to them, they've risen to it. And that was really impressive, because look at the fact that Kerry would have been extremely defensive, I think, was well telegraphed in advance. But having said that, you know, until you're in it, you're not really going to know what it's like. And they weren't, you know, they weren't presented with that kind of challenge before. So I thought it was impressive in that they stood up well to it. Ronan Clark was just phenomenal, like 1-3 in a low scoring game like that. And even though Niall Hurley didn't score, he caused an awful lot of damage and created scores that other got. So I was just very impressed with their work rate and the way that they punched through the Kerry defence sufficiently to get the result.
All right. Well, I mean, how are they going to deal with the weekend? Look, we've talked through the fact that there's only so much you can preview in a game like this, but I would imagine a lot of the elements that have made them such an admirable, and possibly just in terms of a team that's made everyone sit up and take note, are going to be critical to this. And by that, I mean the way Mayo are able to work back, turn over ball, you know, support play, players getting into position to receive possession when they're under pressure, all those elements that they talk about. You know, we heard Gary Rand there just talking about the fact that they want to kick the ball fast, but if it's not on, they look for the outlet, they look for the pass to keep possession. All those details are going to be critical, aren't they? We saw you mentioned the Offaly tip match, just one little slight lapse of concentration and bang, you're beaten, whatever about the referee, it just got away from them. So every detail is going to be critical.
It is, of course. And I mean, obviously with the Tom Markham Cup there to be won, there's going to be a huge amount of additional pressure, and more pressure than these young lads have ever had in their lives before. And the fact that there will be a big crowd will add to that pressure as well. Like it's going to be a huge atmosphere, but it's a great opportunity for them as well. And I, like, first and foremost, I hope that all of those players enjoy the match, you know, and that they express themselves to the full, because at that age, that's what you should be doing, you know. And I mean, it did disappoint me in the All-Ireland semi-final, I have to say, that Kerry came with that kind of attitude, an absolute win first thing, because under 17 is a development grade, and lads should be able to go out and express themselves to the full at that grade. So I'm expecting that to happen on Friday evening. I think we could have a belter of a game.
I wonder, John, just on both sides, like Galway faced Dublin and Derry in Parnell Park. So Dublin, the big Leinster champions, Derry in a venue up in Dublin. So you wonder in some ways, is it that bit easier going back to Hyde Park? And the same goes with Mayo playing Kildare and obviously playing the mighty Kerry.
For sure. And I mean, don't forget that we had to play an All-Ireland quarter-final 6 days after playing the Connacht final as well, which was a further imposition. And I couldn't understand that whatsoever, that you had the beaten Leinster finalists had a week longer to prepare than the Connacht champions. I mean, and to play in a Leinster venue, that just seemed to be all wrong. But I do think it is, because for both of them, they're coming back to their roots, if you like, because the Connacht championship was a Friday evening championship. So they're playing the games at the same time that those, all of those round robin matches and the provincial final were played at, all played in Connacht venues. So yeah, so I think in that sense, they should definitely feel more at home. And hopefully that will then translate into the match that we see.
Just want to represent, there are definitely going to be listeners out there, because I know I've heard it said, saying, it's an awful shame a game like this should be in Croke Park. There are a lot of people who go one way on these things and say, why are you dragging people up and the cost? And we don't want to simplify it by saying, no one's ever happy. I just want to recognize the fact that there are a lot of people out there who think that at this grade, these guys deserve their chance. I actually randomly, for a research project that I'll tell you more about again, folks, was going across old videos of vocational finals, 1988 one between Mayo and Tyrone and Croke Park. So what that meant to those young lads all these years later, that's the argument to say that maybe we're being a little bit too careful when it comes to protecting 17-year-olds and not having them in Croke Park under huge pressure. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, the under-20/under-21 finals, you know, they were in an odd time in Croke Park, but more often than not, they haven't been. You know, they've been all around the country. And I would argue it's more important for lads at that age to be playing in Croke Park, because there's a very clear pathway to senior from there compared to under 17. Now, look, there was the history of it. The minor final always preceded the senior final, and it always was in Croke Park, except when matches had to be replayed. And as you referenced, Rob, like 2006 was the famous one of Roscommon down in Ennis, and there were, you know, us in Longford and all the rest. I just think the fact that it's under 17 now, you know, there's less of an argument for Croke Park. And the program is so squashed as well. It couldn't possibly have happened this year. Where would you have put it? You know, and I think it's a good idea. And that's even before you then factor in issues about cost of living and just the sheer cost of getting to Dublin. And that would be, you know, you'd get that into the cost of tickets as well. Let's say it was paired with the Cork and Kerry game. That would be 40 quid ahead to get into that, whereas it's 15 to get into Dr. Hyde Park the next night with juveniles like under 16s going free. So, you know, plus, you know, a much, much shorter journey. So I think there are arguments, of course, on either side, but I think they come down heavily in favour of playing this final within the province.
Two things to finish, right? Or like I wanted to say just before we go to the clubhouse section of the podcast, just for our Patreon listeners, but to finish this week's minor All-Ireland final preview, it's brilliant to say that out loud. We're only days still, literally days, just over a week after Mayo's championship ended, and a championship that we felt was in jeopardy from pretty much the injury news after that came after the Galway defeat. So, I mean, these guys have lifted the spirits from the second people logged on to Connacht's brilliant streaming service and paid a tenner to watch their games. That Roscommon game you highlighted at the start of the podcast, down to 14 men and finding a way to win it. And Sean referenced with Mike there, one of the most emotional games of the season, which says something. It's brilliant. You know where I'm going with this. It's brilliant to have this. It's a great bonus for us.
Yeah, but it's the way it should be. Because you remember, Rob, you and I were in Park Sean to see the under-20s beating Derry in an All-Ireland semi-final with a short period after losing to Kildare in the qualifiers. The great thing about going out earlier in the championship is that you get over it faster. You know, there's no lingering what might have been and all this kind of stuff. You actually box it off much easier. I'm well over last weekend already. I cannot wait for Friday evening.
Brilliant. Love it. Can't actually add anything to that. So let's finish it there, folks. Get in the cars early. Bring the kids free, as John said. You know, plenty of reason and plenty of justifiable reason at times to be extremely frustrated with certain elements of GAA's pricing schemes and location of venues. But look, even if you disagree, you cannot argue that it isn't a benefit for the fact that someone can pack a car with two adults, maybe three kids, and get into the ground for a total of €30. My God.
Absolutely. And they're a great Mayo team. Like, these are a fantastic bunch of lads. They've had a great campaign. They've won 7 matches on the trot. And one more, and they're all Ireland champions. I mean, definitely, you should be there. And as we do, you remember what it said after the final whistle pod down in Tullamore, these lads themselves know nothing but big days for Mayo. And it would be great that small little kids, that their first memory of seeing a Mayo team in action is seeing these Bucks and seeing them winning the Tom Markham Cup.
All right. They look forward to that, and we'll talk to you straight after its final whistle podcast coming on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Sign up now, and you can catch all the instant reaction as you're driving home from that game or wherever you are around the world. If you want to stay connected to the whole big day, that's the way to do it. Throw in 7:15 in Dr. Hyde Park on Friday evening. In the meantime, we'll join you on the other side in the clubhouse section if you're on our Patreon page. Talk to you in the week otherwise, folks.